We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
It was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moon and the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him, he knew that he had been now a long time in this case. He said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day of the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is a Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is it that said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in the absence. Get the picture. Here was a man in need. He needed help. He's a crippled fellow. And he wanted help. He wanted to get well. For 38 years, he'd been a sickly, crippled, helpless man. And there was nobody to help him. Now, all he needed was some help. The angel of the water troubled the water once a year, and anybody got in first to get well. And there was nobody to help this man. Now, there were great many religious people in Jerusalem, and especially at this time, Feast of the Jews up there, and a great crowd. People marching down the streets, you know, and going up to the temple. They were very religious people. But they forgot the essential thing. The essential thing is to help the individual. See? Do you know you can forget the purpose, your purpose as a Christian? What is the purpose of God in this age today? God has primarily just one purpose in this age. It's set forth in the Acts of the Apostles in that church conference. You know, the Gentiles began to accept the gospel and were saved. And they didn't like it, some of them. They said they ought to be circumcised and so forth and so on. So they had this big conference and they met up there to talk it over in a fair, gentlemanly kind of way. And they agreed there that the purpose of God for this age is to gather out among the nations a people for his name. God's plan today primarily is to save individuals gathered out from among the nations, one here, one yonder, one somewhere else, to get a bride for his son. That's the purpose of God. Now, the man today that's winning individuals to Christ is going God's way, not the man that builds cathedrals. You can't find where God ever told you to build a church. That's not in the Bible. God told him in the Old Testament about building a house in Jerusalem. But God's promise to Israel were always earthly promises. But God never told anybody in the New Testament to build a church. God never told you to construct a building. God never said anything about man. God didn't tell you to put a brush arbor up out in the woods. He didn't tell you anywhere. Apostle Paul never built a church. He went from place to place, turned every street corner into the pulpit, set the city for and on fire the gospel, preached in prison, wherever he went, under all the circumstances, on Mars, Hill, everywhere. Never organized, as far as building a church is concerned, he organized churches. They met in the homes of people. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's all right to build your churches. I thank God for every true church where the gospel is preached. But you know, that's just an incidental proposition. A church is not an end in itself. It's an instrument. It's a means to an end. Whenever the church becomes a means in itself, and you get people to get sell the church, sell the church, sell the church, sell the church, then you're violating Scripture. The business of the church is to sell Jesus Christ to a lost world. The purpose of Jesus Christ in this world, we know it's clearly taught, it's to save individuals. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. God gave his Son to die on the cross so individuals could be saved. Now think of this great crowd up there, this throng of people. Jerusalem crowded. and a man who had been a cripple 38 years, wanting help, right there, and couldn't get in the pool because they had nobody to help. Well, you've got folks all over this country going to hell because of nobody to help. We ring the church bell, play the pipe organ, dress up the choir, parade down the aisle Sunday morning like we're going to a funeral somewhere, get through and going back home, and maybe a few go back at night, then prayer meeting nights go to picture shows. Drift along all kinds of ways, just any sort of way, drift along, you know, and talk about my church, my church, my church, my church, my church. And you're going on like that. Oh, what a farce it is. What a farce it is. And a man comes along, goes out to winning souls to Christ. You go to kicking him around. He's going God's way. You kick him around, see. Now, the man that's winning souls to Christ is going God's way. That's God's way. That's the proceedings of God. That's the way God's traveling. And yet that's the fellow you kick around. Now, Jesus was up there. What an example. Poor fellow, crippled man, 38 years suffered. Only God knows what he must have suffered. Everybody busy. Going down the way to the temple. If it had been a modern picture, they'd have had a red hymn book on the one arm. And maybe a Bible on the other, strutting their stuff. Going down there. Out to a great place, you know. We are wonderful people, we are. Oh, yes, we are great folks. We are loyal to the temple, see? Yeah. Why didn't you do something that crippled fellow, you dirty old hypocrite, stand in Jerusalem? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Why didn't some of you long-bearded, long-robed rabbis go down there among those poor people, among the crippled and the sick and the lone and the distressed, and do something for them? Why didn't you go out and do it? Ring your bell and expect them to come. Poor crippled fellow couldn't get there. Let me tell you something. There isn't a preacher in this country that couldn't lead somebody to Jesus Christ every week. Every week. You know, God didn't tell sinners to go to church. God told the church to go to sinners. God didn't say, now, you old sinner, you go to church. You go to church to worship. Sinner can't worship God if he gets right with God. Now, don't misunderstand me. I wish you sinners would go and hear the gospel if it's preached. But you don't have to go to hear the gospel. You can get to the radio. I'll give you a little dose of it once in a while if you tune in. You can get to the radio. More people get the gospel on the radio now than they do in church. A lot of them go to church. They hear a good many other things sometimes. You say, Bob Jones, you're jumping on the church. I'm not doing anything of the kind. I'm just trying to skin alive you good-for-nothing, lazy, religious loafers. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm after you good-for-nothing, no-account people that talk so pious and do nothing. That's the crowd I'm after. You don't see me kicking anybody around that's going along doing God's work in God's way. It's this lazy gang of folks, you know, that sit up and prop their feet up and take it easy. Go to church on Sunday and feel decent all the week just because they went to the church, you know, on Sunday morning. When you got a neighbor right there next to you going to hell. And going to hell, you her neighbor right there. Not doing a thing to help her. Doing nothing in the world to help her. And if somebody comes along and gets her converted, you say, well, you know, he's an independent, you see. Well, if there weren't any independence, I wonder what would have happened to us. If there would have been any independence, we'd have been in a bad fix. Never been any freelancers, you wouldn't have some of these things. Why, you know, if Paul was an independent, God knocked him down on the Damascus Road and took him over, and Paul didn't consult with flesh and blood and went out. And they were known Jesus Christ, God's son, because he was not in line. He wasn't a friend and wasn't going along with a regular routine. It's always been that way. On the day of Pentecost, those fellows said they are drunk. They are just on a spree, all of them up there. It's always been that way. You know, I've thought about so much here lately. The men I've met in my lifetime, God's men, holy men, they were kicked around and clubbed about by ecclesiastical bosses when they were faithful to God, doing a job for God. Now, Jesus down there, oh, what a picture. Makes me feel so guilty. You know, I sometimes see and get in these towns and think about the crowded streets. And I've been up on New York many times on Broadway and watch them go by. Some of them sad faced, and some of them trying to smile, maybe. Some of them with broken hearts. And the world's so full of need, and we are so busy taking care of ourselves and putting on our programs and carrying on our machinery and our organization. Why, you know, I wouldn't want to turn a student out at Bob Jones University who couldn't win souls to Jesus Christ. That's our business. That's our job. That's what we're supposed to do. We're the witness of Christ's ability and power to save. We let our light shine and glorify Him, not ourselves. That's our job. So he went out there, and there he was. And then he picked up his bed, and somebody said, look at that fellow yonder. That's what he is, that fellow, carrying his bed on the Sabbath. And they said, who told you that? I said, I don't know who he was, but he's the fellow that got me well. I don't know who he was. He disappeared, but he told me to take up my bed. Anybody can do what he can do, I'll do what he says to. See? He accepted Jesus as his authority. When you become a Christian, that's what happens. You don't accept ecclesiastical bosses. You take Jesus as your authority. That's the one that you speak to. What wilt thou have me to do, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do? That's the question. Ask Jesus. And if you go at it that way and keep on at it that way, you'll never fail to settle your problems. And you'll settle them right. But if you listen to somebody that's trying to take your life over and dominate your conscience every time, it's all wrong. So he said, he told me to carry my bed, and I'm going to do what he said to. Because he's the one who healed me. You didn't do it. What are you telling me what to do? Why don't you do something for me now, the poor cripple? This man healed me. I'm going to listen to him. Oh, I tell you right now, I thank God for the folks I've led to Christ around the world. It's great business. Our Father, bless all of them listening in. Help us to be faithful to Jesus. Live beneath the cross of Jesus. Faithful in everything for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.